Know Your Life Insurance Series is proudly brought to you by Hollard Streetwise Finance. Hollard Life Assurance Company Limited is a licensed life insurer and an authorized financial services provider.
So, eHollard Streetwise Financial Literacy Feature is an educational program that seeks to empower listeners with financial education for free. The feature is delivered every Monday morning at this time right here on Power Talk, and the topics to be covered range from the insurance as a need to different types of cover like life insurance, disability cover, critical illness, and what you need to know before you take up any one of these policies. So today we're joined by Ruben Oosthuizen, who's a consumer education specialist for marketing and customer at Hollard Insurance. Good morning, Ruben.
Good morning, Lerato. Thank you so much for having me, and good morning to all of your listeners.
Thank you. Thanks for coming through. So last week we were speaking to Wipuela, and she was telling us about, you know, insurance being very important, and there are different categories of insurance. And what she said that over the next few weeks, we're going to find out more intricately what each product is. So let's get right into it. What is a life insurance policy?
Absolutely. Good first question. And I think, you know, as you mentioned last week, there's lots of speaking to Wipuela, and we've got this whole sort of campaign going ahead. And I think I really want to reiterate and emphasize to your listeners that if anyone is wanting to kind of take action from these episodes and really kind of get involved in their financial journeys, involved in their financial planning, to go to streetwisefinance.co.za, there's plenty of downloadable resources, videos, all kinds of things to kind of really get engaged and start turning some of this information into capability and into action. So please go to streetwisefinance.co.za. But to answer your question, so what actually is a life insurance policy, right? So in a nutshell, in a sentence, it's basically an insurance policy that's intended to provide for yourself, where you no longer be able to work or earn an income, but also mainly to provide for your family members and were you to pass away. It's really about, like all insurance, about providing a peace of mind that were something to happen, were an unplanned event to happen, what could you do? What could you rely on? And that's really where insurance would come in. So if I give you a little bit of more of a technical definition for anybody that would be interested this morning, it's really ultimately a contract between a policyholder, which could be you or myself, and a registered insurer. And this ultimately requires the payment of a monthly premium to this insurer. And in exchange, the insurer really agrees to pay to the listed beneficiaries on this policy at the benefit amount when this risk event would occur. And risk event is really just a technical phrase for, like I said, this unforeseen event. And this, when we talk life insurance, that really means it could be death, it could be disability, or it could be severe illness.
Okay. And, you know, I've always understood life insurance to mean taking out a policy in case you die, is what financial advisors would say, and your family would be covered. So I thought it was a pretty straightforward thing. But are there different categories and different types of life insurance?
Excellent. Okay, yes. To answer your question, yes, there are different types of life insurance. And I think a lot of people are under the impression that life insurance, as you say, is really just about for when we pass away. And I think something important to realize is that life insurance is really a category of things. It's part of this bigger category called long-term insurance. But really, when we look at life insurance, we're talking about at least three types of cover. And that's life cover, disability cover, and critical illness or severe illness cover. And what that really means is when generally we say life insurance, actually what we're talking about is life cover, that were you to pass away, there would be a payout amount to your family or to your beneficiaries to provide for expenses, right, sort of, you know, whatever those might be in sort of the general runnings of our lives. But then disability cover is when it comes in, were you not to pass away, but were you to become unable to work as a result of a disability, and severe illness then does the same, were you to become diagnosed or suffer from a severe or critical illness. Because I think lots of people are under the impression that you, were you to pass away, you need to provide for your family members. But the reality is, you know, other things can happen to us. We could become, like I said, unable to work as a result of disability or severe illness. And then it's not only our family members that we need to think of, but also ourselves. And how do we provide for ourselves thereafter?
Okay, so I'd just like you to elaborate a little bit on this one, Ruben. And as you spoke, the first image that came to my mind was a Teddy Pendergrass, a great, great singer, who, after a car accident one day, was then paralyzed from the waist down, you know? And so somebody like that is still going to live another 20, 30 years, but not able to perform or do their work at optimum level. And so they may face a situation where, because they're unable to work, they still need to generate an income. They've still got to pay for a mortgage. They've still got to pay school fees. And is this what the life policy helps with?
Exactly, exactly. And I think it's a brilliant example. You know, I think the reality is, as you say, we often think life insurance is just that life cover element, but it's really also about providing in the instances of not being able to work. And that could also, you know, it depends on the nature of your career and the nature of the injury. And I think what I also want to emphasize to your listeners here is that, you know, this can get quite technical and you might be thinking, oh, wow, I might have to think about a disability or a critical illness cover. Ruben, please give me all of the information. You know, and today we're going to be talking about a couple of different things about life cover. But as these episodes continue, there will in the next few weeks be an episode very specifically talking just about disability cover and just about severe illness cover. And then we'll get really into the technical depths of, okay, what does that actually mean? How would I qualify and how would I take something like this out? So I would definitely encourage your listeners, please stick around. We'll get into that. But I think also is that when we look at these three types of cover, is that it's not just about choosing any of them or all of them, but it's really about understanding which of these provides you the best benefit for your needs.
Okay.
You can take out just one of these or all three of these.
Okay. But for me, I just do still like clarity because I don't want any of our listeners to not be clear what we're saying. So,
sure.
So life cover encompasses, in the event you die, your family's taken care of. That's one component.
Yes.
In the event, God forbid, like a Teddy Pendergrass, you get into a car accident and when you next wake up, you're paralyzed. It's going to take care of you. And then critical illness, you get diagnosed with cancer, you fight, but there gets a point where your body can no longer fight and you're bedridden. Critical illness. It also covers you there.
Exactly, exactly. And you could take any combination of those things. You could, for example, say, I'm not interested in leaving a life cover for anyone who were to pass away. I would only like to ensure that were something to happen to me, like a car accident, and I'm not able to work, take out a disability cover. Or you could take out all three.
Okay, and so a policy could cover all three or just a component of those three?
Exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
So who can be covered for life insurance, however you're going to take it out?
Great. So in general, as a sort of a statement, you can really insure yourself, the life of a spouse or a partner, or really any individual, for example, like an employee or a business partner, as long as you can prove there is this thing called insurable interest, as long as you would stand to be impacted financially by this person, so, you know, passing away, or as you say, God forbid, becoming disabled or severely ill. And to give everybody just a quick definition of, okay, what does that actually mean? If you think about the property that you own, if you live in an apartment or a house, you will have insurable interest on that because were that property to become damaged, you would stand to be impacted negatively financially.
Yeah.
But if your neighbor's house, for example, two or three streets down were to be damaged, it's not clear that you would actually be financially impacted. That's really the sort of industry kind of nature. So if you think, like I said, a spouse, this could be a child, a life partner, or like I said, this sort of a key individual that you might be impacted by.
I also just want some clarity on this one. So a spouse makes sense, right? And spouses ought to be taking life covers for each other and your child makes sense. But what do you mean a business partner or any other family member? So can I wake up and want to take out a life insurance policy on my nephew?
So, for example, another example I can give you is to say, imagine you're in a situation where you are a single parent and perhaps someone is paying child support fees to you.
Yeah.
Because were that person to pass away or ill or no longer be able to work, you and the child would stand to be financially impacted by that.
Mm.
So, yes, you could then take out cover on that individual.
So the father of your child who may not necessarily be your spouse?
Yes. So like I said, a technical spouse or life partner, but really any individual where you would stand to be impacted financially.
And that's legal. You can go and take out a life policy on the child of your father without his knowledge, or he has to come in?
Well, my recommendation would be that you would always communicate with your insurer in the sense of the relationships, all of those kinds of things.
Okay.
Because the objective would not be to surprise anyone, including yourself, including anyone, right? That would not be the objective. Okay.
All right. So I'm definitely learning a few things here because, you know, they always say extended family members will take out funeral policies in your name, but life covers a whole different category of thing altogether. So can you share some insight with us about exclusions and limitations on life insurance policies? When are they not willing to insure you or pay out?
Sure, great, great. And I think basically just to make sure that everybody's with us, just a quick sort of what exactly is an exclusion. That is really, as you say, a limitation. You know, this could be the events that you're then not covered for or incidences where a claim would be rejected, right? That's basically an exclusion. So in the life cover world, in the life insurance world, exclusions can get a little bit tricky because there are some different types. So there are standard exclusions, and these are the types of ones that really apply across all insurers across all types of products, right? And these, like I said, sort of life insurance industry legislation, they will always be applying. But, and we'll talk about a little bit, talk about this in some later episodes as well, about the different types of life cover, you know, fully underwritten, semi-underwritten, what all of those kinds of things mean. But basically, when it comes to fully underwritten insurance policies, which really means it's made specific to you, is that because the policy is specific to you, exclusions can also be specific to you. And this could be along the lines of, you know, if you already have some pre-existing health conditions, those things could be exclusions. So basically what that means is, Lerato, you and I both could take out an insurance policy, even perhaps with the same insurer. And although we would have the same standard exclusions, we might actually have different specific exclusions that are unique to ourselves and our situations, you know? And so I think the best advice always is that if you are unsure, you know, you would want to think about, am I covered in this kind of situation? Would I be able to claim if this event would occur? One, refer to your policy wording. All of this information should be detailed therein, the standard and specific ones. But this can also be a bit tricky, right? Because if you're not necessarily legal worded, you might kind of go, oh, yes, I'm looking at this, but I'm not actually so sure.
And also the legal wording, Ruben, it's not even just a footnote. It's like the caveats are pages and pages of legalese.
Exactly. And that's, in that case, I want to empower all of your listeners to say, if you are unsure, if you are uncertain, make contact with your insurer and literally go, if this were to happen to me, what would happen? Would I be able to claim? What would I need? Because, like, you know, the important thing is there shouldn't be any surprise. When we want peace of mind, that's why we take out insurance. Okay. And we don't want any surprises with peace of mind.
So let me just throw a very direct question at you, Ruben. So exclusions, right? So in a life policy, let's say you've got the full gamut. You've got life, disability, critical illness. And somewhere along the line, you miss a payment or two and then you die. So let's say you've been paying all the premiums for the last 10 years, but then you get retrenched and this month you don't pay, next month you don't pay, and by some unforeseen circumstance, you die in March. Is it going to punish your family, the fact that you didn't pay these last 2 months, even if you've paid for the last 10 years?
Good question. And I think a lot of people have this idea of life insurance as sort of being out there to kind of get me in a way, but it's not. It's meant to be that peace of mind. So I think to answer your question as directly as I can is to say that there is unfortunately no blanket answer. Not that yes, always, or no, never. It's a case of it would depend on your product and it would depend on your insurer. Your insurer or the product might have specific agreements to say, as long as you pay those up, or they might say, listen, there's a freezing period. You can reinstate your policy after that period, for example, once you pay your premiums again. So again, definitely in those instances, make contact with your insurer.
Okay.
And I think what I just want to add onto that quickly is to kind of say that, you know, the reality is it is a tough economy. So if, in case anybody is out there and kind of just feeling, hey, listen, I have a life insurance policy and it is feeling a bit expensive, how can I manage this? Yeah. The reality is, you know, again, contact your insurer and discover what options they might have, in a sense of you might still be able to retain your cover, but perhaps change your premium, reduce your premium. You know, so make contact. I've got a couple of tips. If we have time, we can share this as well. But definitely make contact with your insurer.
And another question I want to ask you. So you are assured of your partner having their premiums up to date, and then they kill themselves. There's a suicide. Will it pay? Will it say, yes, it's a reasonable cause of death?
Sure. You know, I think when it comes to sort of specific lists of exclusions, like I said, you know, it's very important to keep in mind that, like I said, all of that detail will be in your policy wording. But basically, there are clauses that very specifically refer to things like medical advice, like suicide, all of those types of things. And although some of those are industry-specific and sort of minimum requirements, your insurer could have additions. Like, for example, we saw with COVID, although there were some specific requirements, some insurers took stances way above that to say, we will do that, but we will also do so much more.
Mm.
So in conclusion, yes, suicide is covered, but you would need to consider what your insurer has specific about that in terms okay. of how it would impact you, yes.
Yeah, because many people have said, you know, we thought we were okay, and then something like this happened, and it's already a traumatic event, and now the insurer says they're not paying out. So you just yes. want to know what are those circumstances where there are exclusions and what would be the conditions. Okay,
absolutely.
So in the event of a death, and, you know, there's obviously a lot of darkness and sadness. How does the life insurance policy kick in and how does it help your family?
Great. Good question. In a nutshell, the life insurance policy is really intended, if we look at life cover specifically, were you to pass away, is ultimately intended to provide for your family members where you're no longer there. If you think about what that means, is every month you're earning an income. This contributes to lack of school fees, to groceries, you know, perhaps paying a bond or a mortgage, contributes to savings, all of these kinds of things. If you remove that monthly income, which effectively would then have happened with your passing, what then happens? How does your family and your loved ones sustain their quality of life?
Mm.
And that's really where the life insurance policy comes in, as that sort of buffer to protect your loved ones.
Okay, and you know, and I have to say, it hasn't happened to me, touch wood, but it has happened to family members where a spouse or a key breadwinner has died. And in that moment, you're so confused. And what really needs to happen is a kind of an executor to help you administer the finances after the funeral. And does the life insurance policy give you that person who says, right, they left you this amount of money and this is how we're going to pay it out, monthly installments or a lump sum. And this is how the money can be channeled to you. The school fees will be paid by us or it gets paid by you. Do you have somebody who helps with that?
Sure. Good question. And I think you're alluding to something absolutely essential, with the reality that in South Africa, majority of people do not have things in place like wills. And I also wanted to reassure your listeners, we're actually concluding this series, so also in a few weeks, we'll actually be hosting a very in-depth discussion about wills, about estate planning, about all those kinds of things. So please also stick around for that one.
Mm.
But to answer your question, it would really depend. I feel like so many things depend. The reality is it depends because there are options. Because insurance products are all about providing for your needs. We all have different needs. And it's really about designing the types of things and then choosing the type of thing that would suit your need the best.
Personalizing it.
Exactly. It's okay. All about personalizing it. So how would you kind of structure that kind of a thing? When you take out your policy, you have the option, for example, to leave the full payout amount to a specific beneficiary. Will this go to a number of beneficiaries? How will this be split between them?
Mm.
You can also have the option of not having a single payout, but rather having a monthly amount, a monthly payment amount, as a sort of a monthly income. The other option is to not necessarily leave this to an individual, but to include the amount in your will. And through that way, as you mentioned, through an executor, those kinds of things could be administered and sort of provided in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many, many options here. I think the best advice for someone that is feeling uncertain going, I have a life cover, I'm interested in a life cover, but I will get to think about my wills and how this is sort of left to my family members, is to speak to the likes of a financial advisor, because they could assist you in one, understanding your needs and what would be the best type of policy, but also in actually actioning this and actually putting the will in place and actually taking out this kind of a policy.
Mm. Okay. So remember I said earlier on, many people will take out policies in your name. You wouldn't even really know about it, but it's not a life policy. It's a funeral policy. And when I spoke to Buipela last week, we spoke about the fact that this is the one thing that many members of our community as Africans know about, that death is inevitable and there needs to be a plan to have a beautiful send-off, a funeral policy. Is it the same thing as a life policy?
Good question. I think that's actually a question I get asked very often. And a lot of people thinking that a life cover and a funeral policy really do the same thing. And I think fundamentally what's important to understand is that although you can think of them as a pair of shoes, although they are both a pair of shoes, they're fundamentally for different needs. Think of high heels and think of your running shoes, right? They're both shoes, but they're quite different.
Mm.
And that's really where this comes in. Is a funeral cover is really only intended to assist in providing a dignified send-off or funeral for your loved one. That's it. where a life cover is really intended, like I said, to provide for your family member for an extended period of time were you to pass away. So what does that practically mean? One, life cover amounts are generally much larger than funeral cover payouts. Because the funeral cover is only intended for a sort of burial, where the life cover is meant to provide for the education and the sort of general living costs of your family members or even yourself in the likes of a disability or sort of severe or critical illness cover. So that's very important to understand. Mm. I think the other important thing to understand is that as we were throwing around these terms, the fully and semi-underwritten sort of life policies. Mm. And really what that means is fully underwritten policies are customized to yourself and non-underwritten or semi-underwritten less so. And in the instance of a life cover being fully underwritten, it's customized to yourself, which can sometimes mean that you're paying less in the monthly premium for a larger amount of cover than if you were to do the same with a funeral policy, which are generally non-underwritten.
Okay.
So if someone is looking to fill that need in terms of providing for your loved one, generally a life cover policy can, one, give you higher payouts, but can also be cheaper.
Okay. Let's talk about pricing. Even if we're not talking premiums, can you ever be overinsured or underinsured?
Good question, good question. When it comes specifically to life cover, you have to keep very importantly in mind what your sort of value would be. It's almost strange to think of one's income and one's life as an asset. But we would need to consider very carefully what this value would be so that you're not necessarily paying an excessive amount over in premiums every single month, but also that you are not necessarily underinsuring yourself and your income potential so that were you to pass away, you would ultimately need to think about, is this actually enough to provide for my family members? You need to consider things like loans that you may have, educational goals in future if your children would like to go to university one day. So I think it can be quite a tricky calculation in terms of best products and best cover amounts for an individual to make. So definitely, in order to kind of avoid those kinds of things, financial advisor, ask your insurer about it. But yes, that is definitely possible.
And let's say when you take out the cover, Ruben, you say, all I can afford is maybe a disability, a critical illness. And then you get promoted and you start earning more money and you think, oh, I want to add others. Can you add to the existing policy? Change it?
Yes, absolutely. And I think a really important point that you're touching on, Hilarato, is that a lot of people think that when they buy an insurance policy, they've signed it for life. It is that way carved in stone, and they will carry that for the rest of their lives. And that is not the case. You can always change your beneficiaries, for example, and you can always change some of your benefits. You can go to your insurer and say, hey, listen, my needs have changed. If you've gone through the likes of a marriage or a divorce, if you've recently had a child, perhaps a child is going to a tertiary educational institution, or you're starting a business, those kinds of things. You might want to say to yourself, have my needs changed? And if they have, this might be a case of to say, do I need life cover? Do I need disability? Do I need more than one? Do I need to remove one, perhaps? Mm. And I think that's the important thing is insurance is all about that peace of mind for your needs. If your needs change, consider if your peace of mind needs to be changed.
And so that flexibility is there where required?
Absolutely, yes. Okay. And I think it's, again, a case of, different insurers and different products will have all kinds of different benefits available to you.
Yeah.
And again, as your needs change, consider whether you might need to move products or move insurer even to make sure that your needs are ultimately best met.
Ruben, thank you so much. I've learned quite a few things. I used to think life insurance is cast in stone. That's the first one. And I used to think you have to take a life insurance out with a disability cover. That's the second one. And I used to think that, exclusions are blanket exclusions as opposed to personalized issues that you can bring forward. So thank you for those clarifications. And we look forward to learning more from you and your colleagues in the weeks to come.
Thank you so much. And again, just to say, I would really encourage everybody, please tune in every Monday. We're having amazing conversations on all kinds of different cover, like I said, even wills and estate planning. And please go to streetwisefinance.co.za to get some resources to actually get this going.
That's getting you streetwise and financially literate in the Hollard Streetwise Finance Financial Literacy feature brought to you by Hollard Insurance. We've been speaking to Ruben Oosthuizen, Consumer Education Specialist at Hollard Insurance. Remember, there's a competition and you go onto the Power 98.7 website to answer the question. So last week we asked you what were the different kinds of insurance, and our winner is... If your name is Dimakatso Maobane, you have won 1,000 rands from last week's question. Congratulations to you, Dimakatso. Congratulations, Dimakatso, your prize courtesy of Hollard Insurance. Now, for next week, Monday, we've got a question, which is life cover provides higher amounts of cover compared to a funeral policy, which then assists your family members to meet their expenses. So, life cover provides for you when? After your death? When you are still alive? Both when you're alive or when you die. And remember, life cover is what we're talking about. Does it provide money compared to a funeral cover at the point of a funeral to meet those funeral expenses? But would you get a life cover payout after your death, whilst you're still living, or both, when you're alive and when you die? Like Dimakatso, answer the question and you stand to win 1,000 rands. Go onto the Power 98.7 website, onto the competitions portal. Look for Hollard Streetwise Finance. Answer the question. Time for the news.
Know Your Life Insurance series was proudly brought to you by Hollard Streetwise Finance. Hollard Life Assurance Company Limited is a licensed life insurer and an authorized financial services provider.